Welcome to the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast, taking you around the country, shedding light on the work of the Scottish FA from grassroots to coach development, and taking a look at the future of our game.
Goalkeeper Craig Sampson is the latest guest in the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast, as he discusses his coaching journey with your host Lewis Irons and Greg Patterson from the Scottish FA.
Well, another edition of the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast. Greg joins me as always, and today it's a first for us, Greg. We're joined by a goalkeeper coach, a former pro, of course. Craig Sampson is with us. Sammy, thanks very much for joining us from what looks like an office space, I think you were telling us.
Yeah, no problem at all, guys. I've managed to get out the house for a wee while, go to my dad's office and sort of branch away from the daddy duties for a few hours and get down here for a bit of peace and quiet. Either that or you would have kids running in and out the screen all the time. So I've in a quiet space.
I know, so you won't be used to it. You were saying working from home as much as this. Of course, you've got a two-year-old daughter, so that's work in itself. How are you coping with it personally before we touch on the work side of things, of course?
Yeah, listen, I think everybody's in a sort of not a normal position at the moment in the world, no matter where you are, and it's just certainly trying to adjust to doing things slightly differently at the moment. I'm someone that likes being out there working, and I've not had that for, I think last time I had a game was the 7th of March, so it's been a long time since then before it's sort of going to get back to normal, but you just got on and adjust, and the good weather's made it slightly easier to sort of get out the back door and do stuff with the kids rather than stuck in the house. So I wouldn't complain too much, but hopefully it doesn't last too much longer.
Well, fingers crossed. Greg, as I touched on, it's a first for us in this branch of the podcast. You must be looking forward to getting into this one.
It's always good to hear stories of people like Sammy, particularly, you know, he started his coaching journey reasonably recently after giving up his playing days. And of course, you two have got that wee bit of history when you were together at Motherwell as well. So yeah, looking forward to this.
Yeah, we'll save some of the Motherwell stories, Sammy. We won't get into that in too much detail. We could go on for days, but I guess we'll just start at the beginning, Sammy. You're from an early age, and I'm talking before, obviously, Kilmarnock, where I know you made your professional debut, but before then, as a youngster growing up, was it always for you that you were going to be a goalkeeper? What's your backstory there?
I think at first you always kind of just play anywhere, don't you, as a kid, and you sort of go about your business, play in goals up front, right back, but I think for me, I had a brother that was 4 years older than me, and he just decided that if I wanted to play with him and his mates, I'd have to go in goals. So, get flung in the goals, probably playing with them, and a few older ones made it maybe a wee bit more resilient, able to handle it. And I think by then, you just sort of realise that you're actually not bad at it. While you're doing that, you're just sort of enjoying it and coming to terms with it. At the moment, I watch my nephew, who's actually my brother, who bullied me into doing that stuff. His son is now desperate to be a goalkeeper. Yeah. Every single day during this isolation, he said a rebounder doing it himself. And I mean, I think watching him, it's probably what I was like when I was his age. Just loved it at that point and just probably wanted to be a goalkeeper from then on in.
Yeah. Was there a point as well, Sammy, where you looked at goalkeepers in the peak of their powers at that point that inspired you? Was there anyone you were looking up to?
I think funnily enough, the other day there was a thinking about do your five best players to sort of see who inspired you in football, and none of mine were goalkeepers, funnily enough. I just loved football. I supported Liverpool as a kid, and Robbie Fowler and Steve McManaman sort of era, and guys like that I watched. And Doing that list, I actually looked at it and I mean, I should probably put a goalkeeper in that when I was saying it to my mates. I don't actually have one that I probably looked up to that much, but I just loved being a goalkeeper and I probably just loved football, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a recurring theme, Greg, on the podcast we're doing when we talk about the early days of football, that love and how it comes about. Maybe slightly different, and obviously the way that Sammy's got into goalkeeping is quite a good story, but they're always born from the same thing.
And just as you asked the question, Lewis, it kind of got me thinking. Very seldom do they talk about that organised football. You know, the three or four guests we've had on recently, and you talk about those early days. It's not about the organised 4v4s and 5v5s. I know that might not have been about when we were all kids necessarily, but, you know, it's not about the organised football. It's just about that fun and enjoyment of being able to play in the back garden, being able to play with your mates that resonates all the time. So I think it's one that coaches listening in hopefully don't lose sight of, and I've got to remember that when we do get back to playing, then is about that fun and enjoyment and playing with your mates for those young kids.
Yeah, on that, Greg, I was actually talking about it today. Somebody asked me when I thought I was all right goalkeeping, and it was funnily enough the transition from one boys' club team to another boys' club team. I played at the one Loudoun Valley where my mates were, and I lived in a village called Darvel. But Troon Thistle was the best team in Ayrshire in my area, and they wanted me and two of the boys to go and play in the team. And my mum and dad sort of said, listen, it'd be good for you to go and you'll be playing with a better team. And I think that's when you kind of, I took the step from going and playing with my mates to then going and actually trying to play with the best team at the boys' club. And I think that's probably where I remember the first part of it becoming probably more competitive rather than just fun and playing with my mates. And that was probably when the journey of playing sort of changed for me.
Yeah. And then, of course, was at a point where you're talking about that seriousness, Sammy, that you make that step to Kilmarnock. What was that transition like for you?
Yeah, the seriousness came because of a guy he's had on the podcast recently called Neil Collins. Neil played in my team and his dad was the manager. Yeah. And it was very serious. If we didn't win at the weekend, he was shouting and bawling at you at 12, 13 years old. And Neil would be crying at least once every 2 weeks. For his Neil was a really good player, but his dad would be hard on him. And that was the first time where you're going, right, that you're not here for fun. You're here and we tried to win. And we were very successful. We won the Scottish Cup at Troon. And it was brilliant, but it was the first. And it probably gave me a really good platform to go into Kilmarnock.
Yeah.
To be able to say, well, I've been at that level with those boys and I know that I was okay at it. So already having a bit of scrutiny and a bit of tough love probably from John Collins, it made it easier for me to go to Kilmarnock. And that's not to say John wasn't good. John was brilliant. He's a family friend of ours and all the guys were there. We had a brilliant time as a boys' club team. I think that is probably something they do miss now at that age. Like, you're obviously straight into youth football now, but John was brilliant at really giving you a platform to go on and become a footballer.
Yeah, it's a good point that Sammy makes there, Greg, isn't it? About maybe having some of that a little bit missing. It seems like maybe now that, not to say that people aren't hard on young players, but there is a sort of different attitude to development at an early age now, and for probably good and bad balance, I guess.
Very much so. There is a difference. I look back as well. I was the old fashioned S forms, you know, and you look back and you were getting boys from all different boys' clubs and you knew them because you used to play against them and everyone, you know, now you don't necessarily get that because as you say the teams, the professional teams are cherry picking those better players at younger ages. So you don't necessarily have that different upbringings all coming together at more formative ages, perhaps. It's a fascinating subject that we'd probably last hours and hours on here. You know, what age did you go to Kilmarnock, Craig? Where are you? What age?
I think I signed for them at under 13, 14's age group, but I still played with the boys' club team.
Right.
So you played with both at that time. It was actually quite good at Kilmarnock at the time. We had Ayrshire Kilmarnock and Glasgow Kilmarnock. So you talk about joining together. We actually, the group of kids, we trained with the Ayrshire team, the Glasgow team trained, and then we all trained together once a week, and you kind of, it was a competitiveness. The Ayrshire boys wanted to be better than the Glasgow boys, and we ended up in our youth team. We still had that. Every Friday, we played Glasgow v Ayrshire, or the boys that travelled versus the boys that didn't, and it was quite competitive, but it was good that you still had the boys' club football as well as the youth football. I'm not saying there's any right or wrong way about it. That was just my journey and how it went about. And I wouldn't have changed any of it, to be honest, because it definitely did work well for me. The age group in the boys' club level changed. I actually played under 13s twice because, remember, the age group used to be in August, and then it changed to January the 1st. So I sort of stayed where I was with the age group, and that's when my team at Troon split up. But it was a good way of doing it, the way we done it, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got strong Ayrshire links in this podcast, Greg. I know you're based in Troon. We've had
I'm not an Ayrshire boy like Neil and Craig are. I just kind of arrived, landed here, or met the missus and ended up in Ayrshire. I've ended up in Ayrshire that way, and funnily enough, the club that Craig talks about is, you know, where my two boys and my girl when. She's maybe a wee bit less interested in football, but when she does want to kick a ball about, you know, it's Troon Thistle there as well. And funnily, we're actually meant to have our 50th year anniversary this year, but in big things planned, Craig. But unfortunately, we're having to put some of that to bed, obviously, given the situation, you know.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate, isn't it? I want to touch as well, Craig, on your debut for Kilmarnock. I don't want to make you feel old, but 16 years ago now, is it, since your senior debut? What's your recollection of that game against Aberdeen when you get that first chance in the first team?
The recollection of it is that I was nowhere near ready. Probably thought I was ready, but I wasn't ready. I mean, with Gordon Marshall, Colin Meldrum, Colin Stewart, Graham Smith, myself, and Jim Stewart with the goalie coach, and he really built a structure of goalkeepers. There was ones out in loan, there was first choice, second choice, and I was fortunate that the guys got injured and I got to play in the game. At the time, I probably thought, oh, I'm ready for this. But in hindsight, when you look back now, 16 years later, I was nowhere near ready. We get beat 3-1 from Aberdeen at Pittodrie, and I was at fault for the third goal, I think, in the game. I could have done better, but it was amazing to to be at such a young age and getting thrown in to that game. And it showed that they did have a bit of belief and faith in me at the time at Kilmarnock, because they could have brought people back from loan and stuff, but Jim Jeffries and Billy Brown, I got on really well with them, and they put me in. And listen, we didn't win the game, but it was a great experience for me, and certainly one that, certainly it's good memories, even though we get beat.
It's always, I don't know about you, Greg, but when I think about goalkeepers, it almost feels like a harder experience for them to get that initial chance when there's, you know, so many consistently strong names above them in a pecking order, particularly for a young goalkeeper. So it is a good sign for a young goalkeeper to get an experience like that, isn't it?
Absolutely, especially when Craig's mentioned the names he's mentioned that he maybe thought were maybe should have been in front of him or certainly involved at the same time as him. And it's, you know, when he mentions those names as well, and with Jim Stewart at the kind of head of that, it's that group of goalie coaches, you know, from my point of view, from a coach education point of view, it's incredible that Jim's managed to obviously influence that group in such a way that they're all still involved as goalkeeping coaches. They're all still involved in the goalkeeping coach education structure, you know, that's led by Jim and Fraser, of course. But those kind of earlier days that Jim's built that, what's he built? He's built a kind of fraternity there almost of goalkeeping coaches that have grown up together.
Jim used to do the licenses at Largs, and I used to be his runner. I used to just go into Largs and just do the running for them at the coaching courses. And that's probably when I first thought about goalkeeping coaching. I was going down and I was watching guys doing the courses thinking, you're really good. And on the other hand, looking at ones and going, you're not very good. And at my young age, then I said to them, you should maybe try and get me to do this. And so I come along that way, even though I was young, but I would travel to these places with Jim, talk to him about the course, try and learn from him at that point. And him, Gordon Marshall and Colin Meldrum at a young age for me were just, couldn't have been any better. I mean, Colin Meldrum used to take me to with all the goalkeepers at Kilmarnock, he used to take us one night a week. And I was one of the younger ones when he'd done that. And I just thought it was the best thing in the world that I got to train with the under 12s, 13s, 14s, and up to Adam Strain was the youth team goal at the time. And I remember just going and thinking, this is brilliant. I then got to train with him. Melly was an angry goalkeeper, so if you kicked the ball the wrong way to him, he would go mad at you. It was a hard school. Gordon Marshall taught me a lot, but I had Colin Stewart, Graham Smith, myself and Cammy Bell. So that was the six goalkeepers we had at Kilmarnock at the time. That Jim had sort of Marsh number one, Melly number two, Colin and Graham Smith went in loan. I was there as a sort of third choice because they were in loan, not other than that. Cammy was playing in the youth teams, and then it was all kind of to have his structure in place. And I mean, it was, but clubs just can't sustain holding as many as that anymore. So that's how it's impossible probably for them to put as many sort of higher level goalkeepers in that sort of structure.
Yeah, and to come back to your question, Lewis, absolutely. It's great for Craig that he's managed to make a debut so young, particularly, you know, as a goalkeeper, when, as you say, you know, goalies tend to play that wee bit later and older as well.
And it's another thing as well, Sammy, I know people often talk about it in the game, the importance of getting that first team experience going out on loan. You, of course, got that at a young age. It's not a cliche to talk about that importance, is it? It's important for a young player to get out there and test himself against first teams regularly.
It wasn't a cliche for me. It certainly wasn't a cliche. It was it was brilliant for me. I went to Queen of the South, and my back four was a back four: Eric Payton, Brian Reid, Jim Thompson, and Andy Aitken. These were four senior footballers, and I was going in as a kid. And Melly actually said to me, "Listen, you need to hold your own with Brian Reid, because he'll give you a bit if you're doing something wrong." My first game, we won the first game, and I played pretty well. And see, for that game on, they guys had my corner the whole time. They looked after me, they trusted me, and I loved every single second of it, and it was imperative to me. I then went and loaned to St Johnstone, because John Connolly left Queen of the South and went to St Johnstone. Didn't really work out as well. I probably didn't do as well as I could have done. And the games, learning at a young age, and the performances weren't as good, but it certainly taught me a hell of a lot as a goalkeeper going alone. And without that, it would have been difficult for me to sort of progress in my career.
Yeah, that trust is a huge thing, I'm sure, but not just between players, but coaches as well. Greg, how much is that spoke about in the coach education courses, putting faith in players and giving them that chance?
Spoke about it a lot, and to go back to maybe what Craig said, that it's about that production line, if you know, you maybe call it that. And Jim's always adamant about that, but on the B and A licence in particular, about making sure that the goalkeeping coaches at the clubs that we're working with now are putting those production lines or that succession planning in place. You know, that there is that appropriate recruitment going on, and that these guys are pitching to head coaches and boards, if they possibly can, through the head coach for an appropriate, you know, succession planning. You know, if Jim hadn't done that, Craig's obviously got a chance for a reason, but, you know, what if Craig wasn't there? What, you know, what was it? There was maybe a circumstance around Craig getting a chance at a young age. I don't know. Was there injuries, suspensions, whatever? Yeah. But if that wasn't, you know, if Craig wasn't there, what happened? But that's happened from what Jim talks about through design. You know, it's not happened by fluke. It's not sugar, let's just get somebody up from under 16s and we'll just need to play them. You know, that's not been the case. It's been thought out and it's been planned in advance, so that should that happen, then, well, we know we can trust Craig at this opportunity.
From those early experiences, Craig, that you talk about, obviously the great memories that you had working with everyone at Kilmarnock, and then that experience you got at Queen of the South. Of course, your career, you moved up north a little bit more. You went up to Dundee and Ross County after that. What were those experiences like for you at that age?
It was brilliant, probably, just from growing up and leaving home. And just going to Dundee United was a changing room that you just wouldn't believe. The names were the managers that are in the team now. There was Derek McInnes, Grant Bremner, Alan Archibald, Paul Ritchie, Lee Miller, David McCracken, Stevie Crawford. Derek Stilley was the goalkeeper. David Fernandez was there. You know, it was an endless list of sort of senior footballers, and to go into that, it was brilliant. I mean, it was a great experience. I played a reasonable number of games that year, but again, I was still young and learning. Derek Stilley was a goalkeeping coach, and Bobby Geddes, who is on the coach education for the SFA, was a goalkeeping coach there at the time, and I loved it. I loved going there and sort of, as you say, growing up, probably leaving home and taking more responsibility and becoming a man more than just kind of a boy in a sort of man's world.
Yeah. Was that too early then to be thinking about coaching at that point? Was there any part of you when you're around these people that are clear leaders that thinks, maybe, you know, down the line I want to do something like that? Or was there ever...
I think at Dundee United there wasn't as much. I went to Ross County after that, and we didn't have a goalkeeping coach. Scott Leach was the manager, and I took the coaching. As the goalkeeper at such a young age, I had to take the goalkeepers every day. Come up with it, he would have times where he was managing to get somebody to come in one day a week and put a session on here and there, but you were sort of, that was the way the club was at that time, and you were just sort of thrown in and you had to do it. But we had to do that at youth levels as well some days. If myself and Graham Smith were with the youth team at Kilmarnock and Jim was away with the first team, we trained at different places, so me and Graham would have to do sessions together. And I think as a goalkeeper, you probably do think about these things a lot more than probably outfield players, because there's so many of them, and it's never really going to happen for them, that they'll just, at that time, you were just in the corner, the goalie's going to do your wee bit, so you'd have to do it, and then you would join the team at the end, you know what I mean?
So what were you, about early 20s you must have been when you were doing that, Sammy, is that right?
Yeah, early 20s.
That's quite something, isn't it, Greg, for a young boy to be put in that sort of environment? And like Sammy says, yeah, it's in smaller groups, but it's still a hell of a responsibility.
Well, of course it is. Yeah, of course it is. And but I think, you know, it's having that kind of presence of mind. You know, is Craig taking stuff on? Only he can answer this. Has he taken stuff on from previous coaches that he's worked with? And, you know, as he's talked about when he was down at Largs, when he was even younger, he's maybe passing on little hints to those that are coached. So he's maybe not, what's the word? He's maybe not kind of like definitely going through a learning curriculum per se, but, you know, all those different experiences that he's been exposed to stand him in good stead to allow him to put on those sessions and design those sessions and, I suppose, start thinking like a coach, really.
Yeah. It's you touched on the makeup of a goalkeepers, particularly in training. People often talk about the goalkeeping fraternity, Sammy, but what is it like being a part of that? It's quite a close-knit group, isn't it?
It definitely is. Goalkeepers, I've never been at a goalkeeping, at a club where the goalkeepers really dislike each other. I know it does happen, and if that happened, I think it would be very uncomfortable, but we're the only people that know what it feels like to be in the position when you're in the goals, and players and coaches that are the managers that have never done it, they don't actually know what it feels like. That's how your goalie coach will tend to have your back or understand the situation, and I think that's where goalkeepers become probably a little bit more close-knit than the rest of the group, because you are training a lot yourself and you're trying to be better than the one ahead of you, but at the same time you're trying to support them, and it is something that is probably quite unique in sport, to be honest, rather than just in football.
Yeah, it's true, because you do see that a lot, Greg. Obviously, there is direct competition, but so much direct support between goalkeepers at clubs as well.
Absolutely amazes me. And I've been fortunate ever since UEFA developed the UEFA A-licensed goalkeeping coach course to kind of sit with, you know, back to my Ireland days, with guys like Paddy Bonner that was heavily involved in developing that course. And then Jim, when I came over to Scotland and you know, and on to Fraser now, it's just... You know, and genuinely enjoy sitting at the back of the room when all these courses are on. And that, exactly what Craig's just explained there, comes over all the time, and it amazes me. It amazes me because working with all the outfield players that we get on the B-licence, the A-licence, the Pro-licence, there's not that same camaraderie or strength, perhaps, within such a... You know, they always talk about camaraderie and groups being tight-knit, but, you know, to actually be training day in, day out with direct competitors... for that shirt is, you know, and being in very, very close quarters, as Craig's alluded to, when they do spend that time working in their functional practices and in the corner, as it's always been, you know, it's just, you know, if that's three centre forwards or three right backs, they'll probably want to kill each other so they try and get a game at the weekend.
Yeah, it's true.
It is.
Sammy, as well, obviously your career briefly went below the border as well, down to Hereford. Was that a... How was that part of your career? I know it was it a fairly brief spell down there?
I went down for a season, to be honest. I went to Dundee. Bobby Geddes again was a goalie coach. Alec Ray was a manager. And we just missed out in promotion.
Yeah.
But I had opportunities to go down south. And again, hindsight's an amazing thing. I shouldn't have signed. Jim Stewart phoned me actually the week I was going and he said, don't go. He said, stay at Dundee and play at Dundee. And I said, I want to play down south, and I want to have... They had just been promoted to League One, and it was Leeds United were in it, Leicester were in it at the time, Millwall, there was big clubs in it, and I thought, nah, I'm going to go and do it. I think from probably the first week I've been down there, I probably knew it wasn't the right choice, but what it did do for me, on hindsight again, is it gave me contacts in the English game that I'm still really close with. Like Darren Randolph was the other goalkeeper at the time, who's become a good friend of mine, who went to Motherwell as well, funnily enough. Mm-hmm. Matt Murray, who played for Wolves, came. He came alone at one spell. And Peter Glatschke, who plays for RZ Leipzig in Germany, he came alone from Liverpool at one point. But goalkeeping coach was Neil Cutler, who's now Aston Villa's goalkeeping coach. And there was another goalie coach called Pat Mountain, who became Wolves' goalie coach. And through being down there with them, gave me contacts within the English game, which now, having worked down there and working down there, it's actually given me contacts within the game down there that's helped me in my job now. But at the time, in terms of playing wise, it probably wasn't the right decision. And I'd done okay games wise, but I never done any better than that. And I ended up getting injured and I sort of come back up the road and severed ties. But it was a brilliant experience, but one in a playing terms, it probably just wasn't the right choice for me at the time.
Well, it's funny as well, Greg, because Sammy's made a good point there about, yeah, well, maybe didn't quite work out playing-wise. Look at the long-lasting impact it's had on his career. We'll get onto the fact that you went back down south of the border a bit later on, Sammy, but there's a lesson in there and something for people to take on board that are in the game just now about, you know, connections can go a long way and are effective, aren't they?
Connections, relationships, absolutely, absolutely in the game. They're absolutely huge, and we've spoken about that before, Lewis, haven't we? Just... Yeah. And you probably don't realise how impactful or important they'll be at the time, but it's again, you know, cultivating those relationships. I'm sure Craig's done that. Otherwise, you know, you maybe wouldn't be phoning these guys to bend their ear or ask for a player on loan or whatever he's doing, you know. So it's important that you, without a doubt, that you develop those relationships with people, take things on board, and you're just conscious. It's that kind of lifelong learning almost as well that it will stand you in good stead further down the line, yeah, absolutely.
I think it's safe to say, Sammy, that I'm sure you'd agree, that must be one of your good strengths as well, making connections. Almost anyone I've come across in the game seems to know you and have fond words to say about you. So it's certainly something that people can take on board, isn't it?
Well, first of all, we're only about halfway through my teens. So that
means, I'm just looking at your Wikipedia page there, actually.
There's been loads of them, mate. So that's how I know so many people. But within football, I've always made... great friends. My closest friends are through football. There's no doubt about that. My closest friends in life are through where I've been and what I've played. And I've met loads of brilliant people through it, and loads of people that I certainly trust with my career, with anything. And that's through football and just meeting these people and having the connection.
Yeah. It's certainly a special part of the game, Greg. I'm sure you can testify to that as well, isn't it?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And you know, even my career, albeit not a playing career by any stretch of the imagination, that's Craig's had, but yeah, it's you know, coming through kind of coaching courses, everything like that. You see people coming through coaching courses as well, developing relationships, working with each other because I've developed that relationship on a coaching course, or I've developed relationships at clubs. You know, Craig talked earlier about David McCracken and Lee Miller now working together at Falkirk, obviously. So people are developing relationships. You never know when that relationship's going to spark that then leads to that lifelong friendship that Craig talks about.
Definitely. And then the opportunity comes up, of course, Craig, to come back up to Scotland and, well, to Ayrshire again with Ayr United, wasn't it? So that was when that opportunity came up, was that a bit of a no-brainer for you to make the step back?
Probably wasn't an opportunity, to be honest. It was probably a bit of luck in going to Queen of the South and loan. Brian Reid was the manager, and I had nothing. I had no clubs interested, no one wanted to sign me. And it was a case of going part-time. And Reedy phoned me, and Stephen Grinley, who played there the year before, they'd been promoted, and he had done really well. And Reedy said to me, he'd come in, but I wouldn't be guaranteed to play. And it was two nights a week and a Saturday, and something I'd never, ever done before. And it was a bit of an eye-opener. But again, it was an experience that I thoroughly enjoyed, and I met brilliant people that ended up playing loads of games. Now, we got relegated that season. On a personal level, I done pretty well, and it earned me a move again. And without doing that, I wouldn't have ended up where I got in the football terms. But that summer was from going to Hereford and thinking I'd had a really good season at Dundee. It was sort of, I went out of sight and out of mind, and couldn't really get myself a club. And luckily for me, Brian Reid gave me the call, and I managed to get myself in there.
What's the kind of mental side of that like, Sammy, when you're going through that? Like, you must get, you know, a lot of pressure, maybe nervousness as well. How do you handle that as a professional when maybe a part of your career maybe starts, you think, oh God, where am I going next?
I think you start really wondering what you're going to, are you going to fall out of the game? You're going to have to come up with sort of other things that you're going to have to do. And whether that had been whether I've dived straight into trying to do coaching at a younger age and just try and really go into that at that age, or would I just go and just change my career path completely? Luckily enough, I was able to go here, and it was affordable for me to come back up the road living with my parents, and I ended up working with my dad. My dad builds kits for houses, and I managed to go up and work with him for a little while. Not a great deal like some of the other boys were doing, to be fair. I had it reasonably easy in terms of that, but some of the other boys were 7 in the morning till 6 at night, having a bag of crisps, coming to training, training, and then sometimes if it was a Tuesday night game, they were doing the exact same shift, stopping at the garage and getting a bottle of water, a sandwich and a packet of crisps, and then having to play in the game. And I hadn't seen that before. I hadn't seen it before, and it was an eye-opener to me. And again, coaching, I took all the training. I'd done all the stuff that we'd done, took all the training, and then there was little bits where we get people in, but again, it was a great experience here, and actually I love my time there with a group of players that was there. Ryan Stevenson played there at the time. Mark Roberts was someone that was there. They were the two best players at the time, but there was loads of good players, but it was very difficult for us in that league that year as a part-time club to survive, and unfortunately we couldn't do it.
And the work that's been put in there, Greg, is a testament to Craig, but also an example, isn't it, of some of the things you'll have to do at points in the game and to make your way. And obviously we saw where Craig's career took him next, but at that point in particular, it's hard graft.
I think people can be quite guilty, Lewis, of kind of looking in a professional footballer's career and thinking everything's easy and plain sailing and, oh, they're very well paid and they're this and they're that. And the next thing, you're right, it's not always the case. And even sometimes, I remember chatting to a player, you know, even sometimes they are well paid and they get a good move, but then they kind of get the kids into the school depending on where they're moving because of the time of the year they've moved and the school's full. You can't get a house in close. So there are tough times for, you know, they've got to be away from family. I don't know if that particular period that Craig's talking about, if, you know, you had a wife and kids at the time, but, you know, it's you're right, it can be tough. And, you know, we've used that word resilience often enough, and I think Craig's used it a couple of times as well during this podcast already, that, yeah, it can be tough, and you're, you know, there's that, you know, you just got to dig in, I've got to get through this, I've got to take my own training. But the bottom line is there's a professionalism in there that carries you through that.
Do you think that's something that's not spoken about enough, Sammy, when it comes to professional footballers, the challenges that they have to go through? Greg touched on it. People often say, ah, easy living, good money, but there's a lot more to it than that, isn't there?
I think that everyday person wouldn't realise how much money Scottish footballers are on, because it would be in the same rough salary that they're on, and they just think that you're making yourself fortunes in this way. For instance, this is totally coincidence, but a guy was building a fence two doors down from me the other day, and he popped up and he goes, "You, Craig Sampson?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "What are you staying in this street for? I thought you'd be in the big mansions down the road because you played football." That's just the way that people perceive it, that that's what, and it's by far not the case. There'll be more people in the boat where they're working the same as normal salaries than what there is as the Premier League players. You know, the Premier League players have all get a lot of money, and they'll get millions and millions of pounds, and they can get nannies and do whatever they want to do. But your everyday footballers in Scotland, even the Premier League in Scotland, they'll be making a very good salary, but that very good salary won't last them until they're 75. So they're certainly working away and trying to come up with other ways to earn money or to follow their careers in a different path after the football finishes.
Yeah. Let's move on to, obviously you touched on that move you got to St Mirren, and that, in the few years that you had after that followed, you know, St Mirren, Kilmarnock, Motherwell. How did you enjoy those spells of your career? Like, I mean, you were in the team every week, consistently performing. You must have enjoyed those spells.
Yeah, I was working in my dad's factory, cutting plywood, and Paul Mathers phoned me and he said, "Listen, we'd quite like to sign you at St Mirren." I wasn't meant to be on my phone in the factory. My dad was a manager, sneaked out the back. My dad seen me, I had to say, "Listen, I've maybe got a chance to sign for St Mirren here. You're going to have to let me go." I think Paul said, "Listen, we can probably offer you this amount of money." It wasn't a lot, and I haggled to get myself 50 quid more. And probably about 2 years before that, I wouldn't have signed for what I signed for, but I was in a factory cutting plywood, and I was going, "Oh, I'll jump at it." And to be honest, meeting Paul, I knew Paul really well, but meeting Paul at that stage of my career probably changed my career, because of how good he was as a goalie coach and how much he taught me. So a lot of it would certainly be testament to the work that he'd done with me. And Paul's a lifelong friend of mine, and I'm not blowing smoke up his backside here. I'm just telling you that the real story with it. He certainly changed my way of looking at football and how I looked after myself and the sort of my journey after that. A lot of it would be down to his coaching.
Yeah. Was it quite a special moment, Sammy, when you make that almost full circle? You return to Kilmarnock and you're back at the club you started at. Was that quite a special thing? What did you think the club had changed quite dramatically in that time, or did you get
sent? When I was back to Kilmarnock.
Yeah.
When it back, first my spell at St Mirren, that first spell we won the League Cup was life-changing stuff for me. It was just amazing. It was brilliant. We had a brilliant group of players. At the end of that season, things probably went a wee bit sour between Danny Lennon and myself, where Danny was wanting to probably go down a different route. And I had the opportunity, I was in the Scotland squads and had the opportunity to go to Kilmarnock or Motherwell at the time. And Kilmarnock was, I spoke to Gordon Marshall, who was a goalie coach at Motherwell. And Kilmarnock, it was somewhere that I supported as a kid. It's where I live. It's where I had been before. I had only played one game and I just thought it was too big an opportunity to pass. I spoke to Marsh and Marsh actually said to me, listen, if I was getting the same opportunity as you, it's where I would go as well. And I went with his blessing and went to Kilmarnock, and it was pretty surreal to go back there.
Yeah. It's interesting to hear like that honesty as well from Gordon Marshall there. Just that's, it goes back to the relationship we were talking about between goalkeepers there, Greg, isn't it? I guess there's a good friendship as well there, Sammy, that's at the foundation of that, but it kind of goes back to what we're talking about, doesn't it?
Yeah, Motherwell finished second that season, that never signed, by the way, and Kilmarnock struggled, so I made the right choice, eh?
I noticed as well, Lewis was just trying to skip over us, and man, because we've still got that many clubs to go, he says, and then you're desperate to go back and talk about winning the League Cup.
We've not even touched on the coaching side of things yet, so how long have we got left? No, but going back to that point about Marshall kind of suggesting the move, it kind of is relevant to what we're talking about, isn't it, Greg?
Yeah, I remember having a conversation with Craig just recently, phoning up about his kind of journey on the coach education pathway now, and you know, there was a couple of maybe opportunities open to Craig to maybe pursue coach education with the Welsh, which might fit in with his kind of current job. And I remember saying, but the guy's up, and the guy says, Greg, I want nothing more than to do it with Paul Mathers and, you know, Jim Stewart and Bobby Geddes, because that's these mentors that he's talked about and these lifelong friends again that he's talked about, and he'd prefer to do it with those guys. So you're right, it just comes around in cycles, and if you've developed those good relationships, then you know they are for life. They're not just for, you know, spells of time. They're for throughout your career.
Yeah, you touched on the obviously winning the League Cup, Sammy. I know that you went on to win the Championship later in your career as well, but that League Cup moment must have been at the point of your career. You talk about the Scotland squads, where you're thinking, is that when you were enjoying football at its best? Would you say?
My two spells at St Mirren were probably my most enjoyable spells, because we won the League Cup and we gained promotion the second time. But I've took experience from all of it. Going back and playing for Kilmarnock, probably didn't realise living in the area and playing in the area, it was the first time I'd ever done that, where I was the first choice goalkeeper, and that was pretty tough at times. But St Mirren's a club that's closest to me in that sense, where I've got a great relationship with everyone there, and to go on and achieve what we did both of the times there was just brilliant.
Why did you say it was tough living in the area? I thought when you were saying that there, Sammy, you were going to say it was great living in the area and playing for the team. No,
it was the opposite for me. I was spells for Kilmarnock where I played pretty well, and there was spells where we weren't doing as well as a team, and I wasn't doing very well. And right. It's been a goalkeeper, to be honest. Because I could have had five of the best games ever, and then seeing the sixth game, I'm absolutely crap and I let five goals in. Everybody will remember you for the five goals, and everybody will remember you for the spell where you didn't play well in the team. That's where you probably gain thick skin as a goalkeeper. And listen, I love my time at Kilmarnock. I loved it. I loved playing there. I loved it. I've always had a brilliant relationship with the people in at the club at Kilmarnock, you know, and it's never changed. Billy Thompson's the goalie coach there. Yeah. Managers come and go there, and I've done a lot of my coaching throughout my career's been at Kilmarnock, and without them I wouldn't have been able to do the coaching jobs that I'm in now. Like Paul McDonald is a youth team, the head of the youth there has just been second to none for me in that respect, because when I was there as a player, again, I made relationships with these guys within the club and we got on fantastically well. And because of that, I'd went and took all the goalkeepers at Kilmarnock, even when I wasn't playing there. I would go and do that two nights a week and done all the coaching for the academies in there, and that was through Paul McDonald and Kilmarnock as a club. And it's somewhere I live now, and it's something that, that certainly it's been brilliant to see them going back and doing really well just now.
Yeah, definitely. And Paul's of course the most successful Kilmarnock manager of all time.
Played 1-1-1, 100%
record. Exactly. Exactly.
Great record. Won't ever be beaten, I don't think. But Sammy, what sort of age were you, was it, or what stage of your career was it when you really thought and turned your attention to coaching after life playing?
When I met Paul Mathers at St Mirren, Paul just told me, just start doing your badges, just look into it. He was taking the courses along with Jim, and he said, this is, it's a good time for me to do it. And what I'd done was, I used to take the goalkeeping coaches in at St Mirren at times. Paul took them a lot of the time if Paul lived in Dundee, so there would be nights when I was doing my badges, I would go in and take the goalkeepers in at St Mirren. And it's probably when I started really looking at the sessions, rather than, I'd done loads of sessions before, but I probably didn't look into them. But then working with Paul and actually looking at the detail and why we were doing it, and it really interested me, all that stuff. And at that stage, that's when I was sort of thinking, this is something I'd certainly like to get into after it, after playing football. So it was definitely the St Mirren, the first time I played for St Mirren, when I started really thinking about it.
Yeah, I know you've touched on the second spell at St Mirren and Parks, but of course, if we're going through the clubs and we're trawling our way through them, Sammy, we've got Motherwell and then a return to St Mirren, of course. As those kind of playing days came to an end, what were your kind of memories of those spells? I know you touched on St Mirren, but Motherwell as well.
Yeah, Motherwell was, again, walking into a dressing room of Steve McManus, Stephen Hamill, Keith Lasley, James McFadden, Stephen Pearson, David Clarkson. All guys roughly my age, but like a wealthy experience and an amazing group of boys, to be honest. Funnily enough, Ian Barraclough signed me, sat on the bench for a game and I get the sack. So he left, Mark McGee come in.
Yeah.
And I got on brilliantly with Mark McGee. The first season I was there, I was the second choice. Conor Ripley played. I played a few games at the end of the season. And the second season, I started the season, Mark McGee had told me I would be the first choice the following year. The goalkeeping coach at that time was a guy called Jim Holman. Yeah. I'm still in touch with, who's a guy from down south. And it was all good. And then Jim actually left. And when Jim left, I took the goalkeepers. Now, I was playing, and I mean, Dean Brill was the number two. He was a vastly experienced goalie with three young goalkeepers there. And I was having to play in the team and take all the training. It just coincided at that time probably with the fact that we started not doing as well as what we should have been doing as a team, and I probably personally didn't do as well at that point either. Now, whether that coincided with doing the coaching and the playing, I don't know. But having to do that at that time gave me a lot of experience again, and stepping into the sort of world of coaching, because I'd have to go and see Mark in the morning and ask how long I was getting for training, trying to figure out what I was going to do with them all. And they were hoping to get a goalkeeping coach in a lot quicker than what they were actually able to do it. And it actually didn't, one didn't come in until Mark actually lost his job, and Stephen Robinson got the job and brought a goalkeeping coach in after that.
Yeah, I think it was Marlon Beresford that came in, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Jim Holman, oh God, he's a character, isn't he? Still hear from him myself these days, he's some man.
Jim was a character, he was funny, he was a good guy, we got on well. Connor Ripley, again the same, he was a bit unique, shall we say, Connor. He was slightly unique as a goalkeeper. He was the opposite of me. He was late every single day, hated training with a passion, and just wanted to get through the day, whereas I was a wee bit different. But again, it was that mixture of getting to know people that was really good. But Motherwell was a good experience at the end. That I was always going to leave at the end of the season and move on, and that's when I get the chance to go back to St Mirren.
Yeah, of course. And that second spell, of course, at St Mirren, prior to you making that move back down south that we alluded to earlier, how did that move come about, Sammy, in terms of obviously, again, the relationships were there and it was a good move for you to take on? Was there ever any doubt of making that move back down? Did you ever think, is it worth it? Yeah, no, sorry, when you took up the coaching at Sunderland as well, was that must have been a big commitment.
There was loads of doubt. Yeah, it was a very, very difficult decision. But Jack Ross, James Fowler, John Potter had taken a job at Sunderland Football Club. Like, to imagine to go down there to be the goalkeeping coach as your first full-time role as a goalie coach, and the stature of the club, everything about it, it was just an opportunity I didn't think I could turn down. I was still playing in the Premier League every week. We'd gained promotion. But Jack phoned me and he just said, listen, I'd love you to come down. It's a massive ask. Go and think about it. And I just thought, you know something? It's too big an opportunity for me. I had a year and a half left of my contract at St Mirren. I could still have been contracted with them just now, actually, if I hadn't done it. And
that's amazing.
And I just thought, nah, I'd love to go. And then the first day I went down there, I drove into a training ground. I'd never seen the training ground before. And I remember just walking about going, wow, like the amount of people there, the academy, the size of it, the pitches. But then quickly walked onto a training pitch. I didn't take training that day. I walked onto a training pitch and instantly there's just boys giving me abuse and you just feel at home. You just like Aidan McGeady, Christian McGuire, you know, these guys that were Scottish boys just decided that that's just how it works. You know, you just get down and they started slaughtering my clothes I was wearing, slaughtering me. And then it was probably a bit of nerve when you start to sort of ease your way into it, but it was an opportunity I couldn't pass up.
And surely the Netflix royalties, that you'll be living off them for a while, will you, Sally?
Royalties, it certainly won't be royalties, that's for sure. We get nothing for that, nothing but there you go, you didn't get promoted, we'll video every single bit of it and show it again. But as in, I went to Sunderland as a goalie coach, and to have that opportunity to go there, certainly with Jack, who showed massive trust in me to take me there. I'd never been a coach under Jack, I'd only been the player. But he thought it would work, and to be honest, we think it did. Well, we don't feel as if we should have lost our job in the way that we did at the time at Sunderland. But we went to Wembley against Portsmouth. We should have won. There was 80,000 people there, and I remember standing in the tunnel. We were in the changing room before the game, and there was four guys from Scotland just about to lead a team out at Wembley, and all the flags, like, how are the lads, is what they say all the time down there. It just all the way around the stadium. Portsmouth fans were the same at the other side. Unfortunately, we didn't win. And then to think a couple of months later, we'd be going back, was just, it was mind-blowing, really. But it was probably the hardest experience in my football career, losing the playoff final to Charlton, and I wasn't even playing. It was really, really tough. You can see the difference in being the coaching side to the playing side. Yeah. It's the first time you really, the pressure of that job on Jack, more so than us, but was really, really intense.
Certainly sounds intense, doesn't it, Greg? And it's one hell of a job to be going into in the first sort of position. So it'll certainly give Sammy a lot of experience moving forward, I'm sure. But it sounds intense, doesn't it? That word he's just used there. That's sums
huge
up.
Club. It's a huge club, isn't it? As I say, it's a huge club. And I remember knowing Jack through the pro licence and things like that, and kind of being in touch with him now and again, just text messages and things. And, you know, and Jack's come back up the road and done fantastically well, thankfully. And a huge club, a huge, that brings different pressures. And Craig, of course, stepping away from, as he said, a 1.5 year contract that was remaining, to take that leap of faith sometimes needs to be done. And that's where the growth happens. And that's, with the sounds of things, that's where that major growth's happened, hopefully, in Craig's career, that he'll be able to kick on from. So, no, you're right. It sounds, if Craig's talking about, you know, the pressures on him were tenfold, perhaps on Jack. And that's a recurring theme for us, Lewis, in these podcasts, in that, you know, ex-players, people that have played before, are, you know, seem to be okay as players, but then when they step into that management, it's that drug, I suppose, people call it a lot of time, you know, to coach and to manage, and the pressures that brings on them.
I mean, we lost two games. We lost two games in 15, two or three games in 15, and lost our job.
It's ridiculous, eh?
And it was one of those ones that Sunderland, being such a massive club in League One, we were expected to win every game. And by missing out in the playoff, we lost the goal in the 94th minute not to get promoted. And then to go on, that was the run we were on. We'd drawn some games, yeah, we had, but we were still in a position we felt as if we could go on and really do well in the league this season. But it wasn't to be, and that was the pressure of the job down there. And I think that Sunderland are that big a club. They just believe they should be in the Premier League, and they need to try and get themselves back to that position. And their fans are amazing. There's loads of them. That you talk about Kilmarnock being the heart of the city, and Sunderland, that is the city. That's it. Football, and that is it. You know what I mean? That's life for these people.
Crazy, isn't it? Curious to know as well, Sammy, that first day when you are in that goalkeeping coach position, was the night before your first session or whatever you're going in, are you thinking about the people you've learned from through your career? Do you channel your own beliefs in how you're going to go about it, or do you take inspiration from what you've learned over the years from goalkeeping coaches?
Yeah, a lot of it all. A lot of the stuff I'd done before with other guys, as you start thinking about coaching, for me personally, I know deep down sessions that I'd done and with other goalkeeping coaches, ones that I like, ones that I never, all different things, but ultimately I was going to go and do it my way in the way that I thought was the right way to go about it. John McLaughlin was number one there as Scotland goalkeeper. Yeah. He was similar age to me. So that was something. The first conversation I had with the goalkeepers at Sunderland was, I'm not here to play. Because I think a lot of the sort of media thing when I went down to get the job was that Jack was bringing his goalkeeper from Sunderland. He's saying he's retiring, but actually in January he'll probably register as a player. So that was something I had to speak to the goalkeepers about straight away and say, listen, no stretch of imagination, will I be here to play? I didn't take part in training at the beginning at all. If need be, near the end, if we were really struggling goalkeeper-wise, I would help out in that way, but made it clear that I wasn't there to be a goalkeeper and I was there to coach and help them. And to be fair, we formed a pretty good bond with all the goalkeepers there, and it was an amazing experience and something that you thrive to get back to.
Mm-hmm. Greg, from the coaching side of things, Craig's just finished his B licence, of course, he was telling me just before, but for his wealth of experience from his playing days, but also that experience early on in his coaching, must be quite intriguing to see on the coaching courses and a value to have as well, I'm sure.
Absolutely, and look forward to hopefully getting him back onto some soon. Whether that's, I don't know his aspirations, perhaps, I know his aspirations to do the UEFA goalkeeping A licence now, but is there an A licence in him as well? You know, I'm not sure, but yeah, absolutely. And I'll be honest, I never realised until you were sat and listening to his story now for almost an hour, I never realised that he's done so much so young. And I keep using the phrase that will hopefully stand in good stead, and of course it will. You know, he's got all those different experiences to draw upon now. He keeps talking about all those mentors he's got throughout his life. And I don't care how big someone is, I think everyone in life needs a mentor. And by the sounds of it, Craig's maybe got about five or six.
Yeah. No, to be able to pick up the phone to the people that I can pick up the phone to and have a conversation with them about the experiences, and it's really good. And as I say, I'm very close with Paul Mathers, who's somebody that if I ever kind of doubt what I'm doing or if I ever need a bit of hand, I can phone him or Jim Stewart in the goalkeeping world, who I would speak to the most. Obviously now my relationship with Jack and Potsy and James Fowler is really strong, and because we've all went through the same thing down there now in football terms, I can phone these guys for the experience that we've all had, and it's great just to sort of try and learn and pick things off everyone.
Mm-hmm. What are the next steps then for you, Sammy? Obviously we touched on the fact you just finished your B there.
I took the goalkeeping coaching job down in Rochdale when we left Sunderland. Again, I had made a sort of contact with the manager at Rochdale when they parted company with their goalie coach, and he asked me to go down for 5 weeks, and 19 weeks later I'm still there. Wow. And it's probably, I've learned so much from the guys that I'm working with down there and the way they go about their business, a lot from the coaching side of things, because they do it differently from anything I've done. I took myself probably out of my comfort zone, not going with people that I know, just going down and working with them, and it's been a brilliant experience, and I've learned a lot of things for these guys and the way that they go about it, how they put their sessions on. And rather than just going there where I went with Jack and some of the sessions we'd done with Jack, I'd done them before because I'd done them as a player. But then being on the other side of it with Jack was brilliant, how he went about it and how they went about their business. To go again and learn something from another manager and another set of staff has been has been really good for me in my learning, and something that I suppose you've got to probably keep doing, or you would just sort of stand still.
Yeah. Well, I know I'm conscious this, we're running on and on here. We could keep going, but I guess we should probably kind of wrap up, Greg. What's your kind of final thoughts as we bring the podcast to a close?
No, I've maybe said it in what I spoke last, Lewis. I'm kind of blown away by the experience that Craig's shown, you know. And I remember my kind of first experience of Craig was Holt taking in Gary Holt, that we spoke about as well before, and this going in to kind of help him through the B licence, and, you know, and finishing that journey, obviously, with him going down to Sunderland and, you know, try to get him finished on the B. So he's there now, and hope to see him. Wish him all the best, and hope to see him kicking on, and, you know, see him in future courses and getting bigger and better jobs as well.
Yeah. I guess the next, as we touch about your next steps there, Simon, but the immediate thing is just desperate for football to come back so you can get back to work as you were.
Yeah, I think just to try and get it back in some sort of normality is what everybody wants, isn't it? But when that's going to be, I know through speaking to the chief executive at Rochdale quite a lot, they're not so sure when there's going to be fans back in games, when games are going to be back. I think it's going to be a long time before it's sort of the game that we know and love, but it's things like this and chatting and listening to other people, there's a lot of probably learning to do with different things that you can go on now with the online and do stuff like that, where coaches and players are trying to do at the moment to learn. But to get it back to normal would be everybody's first at a protocol, but at the end of the day, there's a lot more people worse off than the world of football at the moment. So we've just got to hang tight and see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, when it does return, hope all goes well at Rochdale, mate. And it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast. So thanks a lot for giving your time. It's been really good.
That's all we have time for in this week's edition of the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast. Feel free to send us your feedback, your ideas for coaching topics you want us to cover, and to get in touch, visit @ScottishFA on Twitter or email info@scottishfa.co.uk.